A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are called children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob,' and he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. Now I have to get it off my chest quickly. Did you notice in the gospel today that Jesus said in heaven there's no marriage and there's no getting married and remarried? Because you see, when we get to heaven, we'll all be very wise. Take that how you like it. Anyhow, now we're going to look at something a bit different this morning, and it fits in into the readings, because you'll notice when it comes to this time of the year, towards the end of the year, two more Sundays will be the end of the church's year, and we'll be in then to Advent, and that's the beginning of a new year in the church. And so there's a lot of reference to the end of life issues in the readings from the Mass. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want to talk about, you know, what really happens when you die. Now, most of us think we're never going to die. We live as if we're never going to die. And I'm very aware of that, because often when I'm officiating at a funeral, I'm always at somebody else's funeral, but I'm never at my own. And I think, well, someday, you know, I'm going to be as this beautiful person here is. I'm going to be in a casket or whatever. Well, in a casket. So I want to, and what happens after we die? Now, you may see over there, we have a little tree, and that was Father Joe's idea that he brought from Ireland, and on the tree we have little leaves, and people have written the names of the people they want prayed for during the month of November, because the month of November is the month of the Holy Souls. And so It begs the question, who are the holy souls? Who are the holy souls? And I think the answer we would come up with is, these are the people who are in purgatory. And purgatory is a belief in our faith, in our religion. And we go back, as for example, to the book of Maccabees this morning. Even then, that was the only time in the Old Testament that it spoke about an afterlife. And Judaism, even some Jews today, do not believe in an afterlife, but we do. And I don't know sometimes how I would cope with the various problems and the difficulties and the challenges in life if there wasn't, you know, an afterlife and something to look forward to. So I'm going to, for a few moments, we're going to reflect on purgatory and maybe give you a new way of thinking about purgatory. Comes from a Latin word, you know, to purge, or purgatio, meaning to cleanse from the inside. So I want you to use your imagination for a moment. And imagine that you were born totally blind. And so you spent most of your life totally, totally blind. And so you only knew objects by touch or feel, and you'd never seen these particular objects or seen a person. And then suppose one day, through a miracle, your sight is restored. What would that feel like? I think we'd have a feeling of wonder, amazement, bewilderment, and pain, because suddenly everything is totally different, and we see. Now we go back. Nowadays we know what that is like for somebody to have their sight restored, and thank God, it's an operation today, or it's a medical procedure that through a miracle, some of these doctors work absolute miracles. J.S. Young, who was a brain surgeon, he kind of examined the brain and kind of gave us an insight into what it's like for a person who is an adult and now has their sight restored. And so, again, everything is spinning. And all the colors, there's no differentiation between the different colors. And they reach out for an object, but they have no idea of space or where it is. And even though they know the object by name, they don't know what it is. So they have to go through a whole process of learning how to see. Now you might say, you know, if you have your eyes, you don't have to learn how to see. Well, from the time you were born, you picked up on that, and you were learning how to see and to recognize objects. And so that's the beauty of having sight. But this person, that has never happened to them. And so it's an amazing feeling. Now, move on and transfer that to what happens when we die. And hopefully, I think most of us would be happy. I'd be very happy if I ended up in purgatory and rather than, you know, going a bit lower down. I'd be very happy, and I think most of you would be too, huh? If you ended up in purgatory. Now, what is that like? How would we describe that? But I think the whole idea of punishment and fire and retribution for sin doesn't really fit in with our idea of a loving God, a loving Father. So people who have had a near experience of the dying and were on the threshold of going into the next life will all tell you that it was one of the most beautiful experiences of their whole life. And everybody who comes back, all of them, without exception, speaks about this blinding light and this absolute peace. And sometimes you're floating above your body and you can see the doctors and the medical team working on trying to resuscitate you, and you're up there and you're hoping they won't succeed because you don't want to come back and be imprisoned or incarcerated again in this human body, because now you've tasted a freedom you could never have tasted in this life. Now, if they don't succeed, you're lucky. Oh, you are, yeah. Because then you move on, and what happens? There's this magnificent light, and suddenly you're embraced by the warmth and the love of an awesome God. Now, pause there for a moment and think about that. And it's ecstatic, and you're bewildered, it's euphoric, and at the same time, it's painful. Now, where does the pain come in? And I think this is the pain of purgatory. Where does the pain come in? Well, only pure love can really bring us to the realization of what sin is like. What sin is like. And so now we're embraced by the warmth and this awesome love of God. And for the first time in our life, for the first time, we really, really begin to realize how much this God loves me. How much this beautiful, loving God loves me. And the pain is, how come I never realized that in my life? And what a difference it would have made in my life had I really, really realized that more and more. What a difference it would have made. And that will be the regret and the punishment and the realization of what sin is really like. And in that moment of meeting the Lord, the inbreaking of the pure love into our souls, that's the only thing that can really remove all sin and all traces of sin from our souls. And it'll be the most, you can't put it in towards, we only have, as St. Paul says, we only see now dimly or darkly as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. And I think that is a clue of what this beautiful experience will be like. It'll be, and I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I believe it with all my heart and my soul that the moment I die, now, I'm not talking about leading up to dying. You know, one could be in hospital, one could be suffering. But the moment I die and pass from this life to the next will be the most beautiful, magnificent, wonderful moment of my life. And all the other experiences, even the most wonderful experiences I've had, will all pale into insignificance. Now, please believe that. Saint Teresa had a lovely, lovely, lovely phrase. Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she used to pray to God, punish me with a kiss. Punish me with a kiss. In other words, let me know your real love so that I may know how much I am loved. Punish me with a kiss. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful way of putting it. And so awaiting you is this wonderful experience, this beautiful experience. So there's no need to worry about dying. If you live your life to the best of your ability, that will be the most beautiful moment in your life, and probably one of the regrets you'll have is, why did I spend all that money on health food and going on diets when I could have been here years ago? Really, really. And so, to finish off, I go back to the praying for the holy souls. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the communion of saints. And for those of you who have lost a loved one, and many of you have, and I have too, people do not, we're in communion with them. Because God is a whole, and they are in God, and we're in God. And so we are in communion with them. And I always say to people at a funeral, talk to them. Talk to your husband. Talk to your wife. Talk to your son, your daughter, your grandmother, your parent. We're in communion with them. And pray to them and not just for them. And when you're going through difficulties or challenges in your life, ask them to help you, and they will, believe me. So I want you to really focus and come to the realization that the most important thing in your life and my life is that God loves me, not about all my love for God. And when you come to the realization that God loves you, absolutely, it's a beautiful realization. It changes your whole attitude to life. And if you say to your husband or to your wife or to people you love, and I hope you do, I love you. I love you. What do you normally say back to them if somebody says that to you? Well, I normally say back, and I love you too. And so in the last couple of weeks, that has become one of my mantras on my prayer. I said it many times this morning, and I love you too, Jesus, because I know he loves me. And I say, and I love you too, Jesus. Amen.